From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Financial publications are in a tizzy over the falling stock prices of private health insurance corporations, using terms like freefall to describe the trend. The debate over a Medicare for All program is largely to blame for the falling stocks. The idea that everyone could get healthcare through the government has terrified companies like United Healthcare, which was recently revealed to be quietly lobbying against it. Most Democratic presidential contenders have jumped on the Medicare for All bandwagon in a testament to how popular the idea is, another fact that has insurance companies deeply worried. My guest is Wendell Potter, author and journalist who spent more than two decades in the health insurance industry at Humana and Cigna. He became a whistleblower in 2008 when he left Cigna and wrote the tell-all book, Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Since then, he has also written Obamacare, What's in It for Me, What Everyone Needs to Know About the Affordable Care Act, and Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. Welcome, Wendell.
Thank you, Sonali. Good to be back.
So let's first talk about this little piece of a conversation that was revealed to have taken place at an event that the United Healthcare executive, chief executive Steve Nelson said in response to an employee who asked him about how United Healthcare was participating in the Medicare for All debate. And what Steve Nelson said, according to a whistleblower who told the Washington Post, one of the things you said, we're really quiet, or it seems like we're quiet. We've done a lot more than you would think. You want to be kind of thoughtful about how you show up and have these kinds of conversations, because the last thing you want to do is become the poster child during the presidential campaign. So how significant are these remarks, you think?
They're very significant and very telling, and I think it was something that that he wishes he probably had never have said. And I can understand the setting. When I was at Cigna, we used to have meetings with the CEO, when I say we, leadership, and sometimes the broader employee population of the company, to ask questions about earnings and company performance and what's going on that could affect the future of the company. And we are certainly at that point in time when, with this discussion about Medicare for All, these companies, these executives and their shareholders see this clearly as an existential threat, and they're right. And what he was saying was that we are spending a lot of money working behind the scenes to try to keep this from happening, so don't worry. I think that it is time for them to worry, and clearly shareholders are worried. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen the big sell-off that we've been seeing. And I think that's going to continue as well, quite frankly.
So one of the things that then happened in response was that Senator Bernie Sanders, who is a leading Democratic presidential contender and one of the champions of Medicare for All, he just introduced his new version of the bill, tweeted to Chief Executive Steve Nelson of United Healthcare, saying, "Our message is simple. When we are in the White House, your greed is going to end. We will end the disgrace of millions of people being denied healthcare while a single company earns $226 billion and its CEO makes $7.5 million in compensation." Is this remarkable to see a presidential candidate who is not just any presidential candidate, but so far the top presidential candidate among Democrats, confront a health insurance company so strongly?
I think it's unprecedented. I've never seen anything quite like it. And it's a very welcome thing. And it's about time that we've got our political leaders who are really stepping up and calling out this kind of greed. He's exactly right. What we're talking about here is greed. And when I was in the industry, the top job objective I had was to enhance shareholder value. Job number one is to make money at these companies and to make shareholders as rich as possible. And keep in mind that the CEOs and other executives, and it goes down into the organization as well, there are a number of employees of these companies that participate or they get stock options and stock grants. So they're in this for the money as well, too. They're very much enriched. And what has happened with this stock sell-off is that their portfolios have taken a hit as well, too. So they're worried.
Now, is it true, you think, that health insurance companies and the entire industry would have an existential crisis if Medicare for All became a reality? Would it totally wipe out the industry?
No, it would not. And that's something that I think is important to make clear. And a lot of people would think that. But these companies have probably seen the handwriting on the wall for a long time. In fact, I know that they have. They realize that the gig is going to be up before too long with their health insurance and the way they sell and what they sell companies, the individuals. The system is just not sustainable. So what they've been doing over the past several years is diversifying. United, for example, has a very large and growing division called Optum that does not sell insurance. It is one of the most profitable divisions of the company. And other companies are doing the same thing. They have other profit centers, if you will, other lines of business other than health insurance. So they will not go away. They will just transform themselves into something else. They will no longer be able to sell health insurance because the bill that Senator Sanders has introduced and Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal has introduced on the House side would make it illegal for a private insurance company to sell coverage that would duplicate what Medicare, an expanded and improved Medicare program, would offer.
So it's not then going to be, if Sanders's bill survives, it's not going to be like it is in Canada, because of course there is a health program in Canada, but there are also private insurance companies. So for those people who want, you know, to have insurance for things that government healthcare wouldn't cover, you know, such as plastic surgery or whatever, they can actually, or just supplemental coverage, they can actually get insurance from private companies.
Well, they can. Keep in mind, we're not suggesting necessarily that we take the Canadian model and just implement it here in the States. What is being proposed by Senator Sanders and Congresswoman Jayapal is something that is better than the Canadian system. It's, I would call it a uniquely American approach to providing what would be the best healthcare system on the planet. We fall far short now, but it would expand the Medicare program to include not only more people, but to include coverage for dental care and vision care and even long-term care. And in Canada, for example, the health program up there does not cover dental. And so people buy coverage separately for that, and they even buy coverage separately for pharmaceuticals. But what we need here is one that is even more comprehensive and effective than the Canadians, and I think that's exactly what we should wind up with.
Right. I mean, it's so bizarre that in our health care system, we separate vision coverage and dental coverage from all other kinds of health care coverage. Were you heartened by the response at Bernie Sanders' appearance at the Fox News town hall meeting when the hosts basically asked the audience how they would feel about their employer-provided coverage being replaced by Medicare for All, and, you know, the crowd erupted into cheers?
They did, and I think that was probably another reason why we saw this stock sell-off. The health insurance business is perpetuating this myth that Americans who have private insurance loves to deal with insurance companies and really be upset if the system is replaced by something that's better. But clearly we saw that response. People are not so enamored with their private health insurance company and the way the current system works. I was surprised a bit considering that this was on Fox. But nonetheless, I think that is actually more the reaction that you would get than what the insurance industry would like us to believe. People who have private insurance know that they're paying more and more every year for benefits that are of less value. There's a term in the industry that the industry doesn't want you to know about. It's called benefit buy-down, and it is a broad term that encompasses a lot of sins and sins of making sure that year after year your health insurance is a little bit less valuable than it was last year, but you're paying more for it.
So United Healthcare CEO David Wichmann is really quite terrified of of the idea of Medicare for all. He has basically said that this wouldn't, you know, destabilize the healthcare system in the United States and destabilize the entire nation's healthcare system. One publication, Splinter News, characterized it as head chicken slams pot pie plans. And others have simply said, of course, he's terrified because that would mean that his multi-million dollar yearly salary is in danger.
Exactly right. And talk about destabilization. What they don't want is change that they cannot control. And this is change that they cannot control. For decades, they've largely been in control of the healthcare system, increasingly so, to the point that they stand between us and our doctors every single day. And most people are not aware of the extent of that or what the consequences are. But they have systematically been disrupting our healthcare system over many decades by forcing us into high deductible plans, for example, and refusing to sell coverage or jacking up rates to employers to the point that they can no longer offer benefits. They are the culprits here. They are they're the entity that has really disrupted the economy and the healthcare system in this country.
So what do you make of the fact that it is also a very, very popular idea among Democratic presidential contenders, not just Bernie Sanders, not just Elizabeth Warren, but other, you know, sort of considered less radical people like Kirsten Gillibrand?
You know, I think what is going on is that they have been listening to their constituents. One of the things you have to keep in mind is that when people are often at wit's end with their private insurance company, they will often reach out to members of Congress and see if they can get a member of Congress to go to bat for them. That happens every single day. Their constituent services people undoubtedly are fielding calls and emails every single day from constituents who are trying to make sure that they get the care that they need, even if they have insurance. So I think more and more lawmakers are paying attention to what's happening to the constituents. That's why you have more and more of these candidates embracing Medicare for all.
One particular candidate, the South Bend, Indiana Mayor Peter Buttigieg, who's become a rising star among Democrats and who's now supposedly, according to the latest poll, the third most popular Democratic presidential candidate, said that the country should move in the direction of a Medicare for all system, but that private health insurance companies shouldn't be eliminated. He said at a CNN town hall meeting that he wants to endorse Medicare for all who want it, that people should be able to invite, you know, you could invite people to buy into a Medicare type option. How do you respond to that?
Well, he needs to be more enlightened than that. I'm delighted that he is in the mix. I think he's a very attractive candidate, but he needs to be educated more about how the healthcare system really operates. You cannot continue to have a multi-payer system and expect that we're ever going to get our hands around these rising costs. You cannot do it. And I can sit down with him and explain how that is. I think he's trying to have it both ways. He wants to embrace moving people into Medicare, but to try to do it in a way that doesn't maybe upset the insurance industry. I don't know. But as mayor of a city, he needs to know, of course he knows, that every year taxpayers are having to shell out more money to pay for the coverage for the city's workers. So it's something that he undoubtedly has observed and should know that the current system is not sustainable, not just for private employers, but for municipalities and state governments as well.
The idea that health insurance companies would lose money and might be driven out of business is something that we are all supposed to worry about, Wendell, right? This is what's so interesting about the way in which our system has been valued by the health of corporations these days rather than by the actual health of actual people, that we are supposed to worry that if stocks tank, that could be bad for the economy, that could be bad for the country, but nobody's worrying about the medical bankruptcies that are devastating American families.
Exactly right. More people undoubtedly are having trouble paying their medical bills, even with insurance, than there are people who are employed by the health insurance industry. That's one thing that we need to keep in mind. The other thing is that the people who are currently doing their jobs are doing jobs that do not contribute to getting someone better or to keep someone from getting sick in the first place. They, in many cases, are standing in the way of people getting the care that they need. The other thing is that both the Jayapal bill and the Sanders bill contain provisions that would set aside funding to retrain people who need retraining and to pay them for a period of time until they land another job.
That's incredible, by the way. I don't think anyone has really emphasized that aspect of the bill.
They haven't, and it's an important one. It's called Just Transition. It's a very important part of both bills. Keep this in mind, too, though, that a lot of people who work for these companies have been clinically trained. Insurance companies have hired over the years tens of thousands of nurses. United alone has probably more than 10,000 nurses working for that company. And they've also hired a lot of doctors who serve as medical directors. Those people can, and in my opinion, should go back to treating patients.
We, of course, do have a shortage of doctors and nurses in this country, so that would be certainly welcome. And presumably a government-run healthcare system would require a workforce that is trained in administering it and expanding the existing Medicare system. So certainly there will be jobs that would be in the same field, or in a similar field at least. And also currently, isn't it true, Wendell, that healthcare providers and their staff spend inordinate amounts of time and money and overhead dealing with insurance companies when providing healthcare to us? So if you go to your doctor's office and have a visit, the staffer, the admin person there could be spending hours processing the paperwork that they would need to do if we had a Medicare full system.
Exactly. Here's a fact that I don't think many people realize. Every doctor in this country spends on average $100,000 for what you just described.
Wow.
They have to have people on staff to do what you described, trying to make sure that the practice of the doctor gets paid, reimbursed appropriately, and that his or her patients get the care that they need. And that requires staff. Who do nothing more than stay online or on the phone with people who are bureaucrats at insurance companies going back and forth trying to make sure that the doctors and the patients get treated fairly. That would go away. It's not necessary. It is the most insane system that has developed in this country. No other country on the planet would ever consider having a system like ours, which is so unbelievably complex and expensive and unfair.
One of the other excuses that are often raised, that's often raised against Medicare for All, is that it would be a huge strain on a system that's not designed to provide healthcare to all Americans. I mean, it's just kind of sad to me that we have a current system that is built on having millions of uninsured people, and among them probably people who forego healthcare because they can't afford it and don't have insurance for it, and that we're supposed to all be fine with this and oppose having healthcare for everybody because then everybody would have healthcare?
I know, and the word sad was what occurred to me first as you were saying that. It is sad, a sad commentary that anyone would hold that belief. But here's the thing. All of us in this country, regardless of whether we have insurance or the kind of insurance we have, at one time or another, we're going to need medical care. And if we don't have insurance and we keep postponing it at some point and we have an emergency, that is much more expensive to treat than if someone gets the care earlier on in a disease state or whatever it might be. But even people who are insured, and this is one of the reasons why I think that people are growing increasingly disenchanted with their private insurance, is that they're having to pay more and more out of their own pockets for care before their coverage kicks in, because the insurance industry has shifted most of us into high deductible plans. People are foregoing their care because they don't have the money in the bank to cover their out-of-pocket expenses before that coverage kicks in. So increasingly, those people are going without the care that they need. everyone in this country gets care at some time or another. And under the current system, it adds cost because, again, these people often wait until it's an emergency situation and it costs far more. There is no such thing in this country as uncompensated care. It may be a term that people have heard, but doctors and hospitals, they have to cover their expenses somehow. And the way they do that is to charge insured customers and patients more. So it's a real fallacy, but it's also a sad commentary that people think that we somehow have this zero-sum game, that if someone else who is currently uninsured or underinsured gets care, then I might not get the care that I need. It's just, it's stupid thinking.
Do you fear, finally, that the Republican Party's scaremongering over the idea of socialism could derail the public's appetite for Medicare for All? Bernie Sanders proudly calls himself a Democratic Socialist. Even though Medicare for All is a very basic, simple, elegant system that really isn't very radical, that the PR spin that the Republicans are putting on it, this negative PR spin, could derail it?
It's entirely possible. I've been a part of my old career of spin, as you noted at the top of the show. But I don't know that it's going to work this time like it has in the past. They, meaning Republican lawmakers, but also industry lobbyists and PR people, have trotted this out time and time again, going back to even the Truman years during the administration of Harry Truman. And then when the original Medicare program was being proposed, the American Medical Association they launched a propaganda campaign against it using the same terms, that this was socialized medicine. So yes, that term is what I refer to as evergreen. They use it a lot as part of campaigns that are based on fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And the acronym is FUD. most of these campaigns are FUD campaigns. I think they're losing their power. But of course, there are going to be a lot of Americans who fall for it. But I think more and more of us are getting some immunity to propaganda campaigns. At least I'm hopeful.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Wendell Potter, and for all the work that you've been doing.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
My guest has been Wendell Potter, author and journalist who spent more than two decades in the health insurance industry, first at Humana, then at Cigna. He became a whistleblower in 2008 when he left Cigna, and he wrote his tell-all book, Deadly Spin, An Insurance Company Insider Speaks Out on How Corporate PR is Killing Healthcare and Deceiving Americans. We've been discussing how Medicare for All has the insurance industry terrified. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.